Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for being here this morning. Welcome to Grace Point Church. You're a guest. We're so glad that you're here and worshiping with us also online. I know many are still watching online, so we're thankful that you've joined us online also, as well as in person, that you are worshiping with us here together at Grace Point Church. In just a moment, if you want to follow along in your Bible, all the verses will also be behind me on the screen, but if you want to follow along in your Bible, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. We're going to be looking at verse 14. We've kind of been working our way verse by verse through the book of Colossians, and we're on verse 14. We're going to start in verse 12 as it kind of leads us into verse 14 in just a few moments. But let me share a few things with you just to keep you in the loop and update you on things. First of all, tonight from 5 to 7 over in our student building, parents of youth, you have the opportunity to meet your child or children's small group leaders for the year, for the school year. Nathan, of course, he and the leadership will be over there tonight from 5 to 7, and you wanted me to just extend that invitation to you to come. It's a come and go, but if you have kids over there in our student ministry, this is a great opportunity for you to come over and to meet the people that will be leading their small groups. So I want to encourage you to do that. It's a come and go thing tonight from 5 until 7. Specifically for parents, kids can come too, but the focus is for the parents to be able to talk with the small group leaders. So I hope you can make plans to be here if your kids are in our student ministry. If you have questions and want to come, meet the small group leaders, talk to Nathan. I know he'll welcome that opportunity. Second, let me remind you, August 15th is Baptism Sunday. We just had one not too long ago. We're going to have another one. More people that need to be baptized, and I want to encourage you, if you've not been baptized by immersion, but you know Christ as Lord and Savior, we would love the opportunity to talk with you and then to baptize you by immersion on August the 15th. Two ways you can sign up: information center out in the far corner of our lobby. There's a place you can just sign your name and contact information, or you can go to gpsignup.com. gpsignup.com. That has all of our signups. We're driving it there. You'll see the baptism icon, the graphic there, icon. You click on that, and it takes you to a place where you can sign up for baptism, and then we'll be in touch with you. Maybe you just have questions about it. You can sign up. We'll reach out to you and talk with you about that. So that's coming quickly, Sunday, August the 15th. We had a great men's event yesterday morning. I'm thankful for Jeff, Pastor Jeff Neal, our discipleship pastor, and he leads our men's ministry, and he put together men's event. Chad Hennings, former Dallas Cowboy, came in. We had about 150 men that showed up for that thing. We ate together, then we came and sang a little bit, and Chad Hennings shared with us. So thankful to all you guys who came, those who didn't. I hope next time you'll be able to come and be a part of the next men's event that we have. So a good day of ministry yesterday morning. And then this past week, we did our backpack giveaway, which you've been involved in. And so many of you were there. Thank you so much for coming and serving Grace Point family. If you're part of the serve team, you know what kind of event it was. Man, it was an amazing event. And we started out this first year. We've done it. A new event that we'll do every year now. Giving backpacks filled with school supplies to kids in our community in need. And I said to you when we started, let's start with 500, which at that point, you know, that was like, are you kidding? You know, 500. And filling those things up full of school supplies. Well, as always, you rose to the occasion, and you brought the school supplies, and you brought the backpacks. And last Tuesday night, we gathered, many of us did, and we packed the backpacks. And then Thursday night, we gave out those backpacks. The goal was 500. Thursday night, we gave out 529 backpacks. Amen? How about that? So those of you who couldn't come, I apologize for this picture. That's from my phone right in the middle of the chaos. So the next few are professional pictures. This was just me. So we, just to give you a little insight, because even if you didn't come, you gave, and so you're part of this ministry, and it's something, like I said, we're going to do. The Lord's blessed, and, you know, it all points to him, man. He did it. But what we did is we had him line up right out here, the fence right next to the playground, and then to go back across and then come down this way. So that first picture you saw was looking this direction, and then we circled them back around the front of the building, and then that's another picture looking from the back kind of towards the playground, and then this is this side out this back door and beyond. So that's how far they were. And here's the deal. It started at 6:30. They started lining up at 4:45, by the way. And it was like 180 degrees. And so, and this line, this was like before 6. I mean, we weren't even, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. So we started early just because we were concerned because of the heat for so many people out there and the kids. And we were able to, when it was all said and done, in Casa Adobis, we partnered with Casa Adobis, and they had their church here. That was wonderful. Pastor Rigo administering there. And so it was an amazing time, and the Lord blessed. And I want you to know that, Grace Point Church, because you were a part of that. You gave, and you again, you stepped up. You gave the school supplies and backpacks, and we were able to give all those out. Now, here's the other good thing. So Tuesday night, we gathered up here last Tuesday night to pack the backpacks. And I didn't know exactly how many we would have. I knew the goal was 500, so I was praying for, you know, at least that. But by the time we finished packing all the backpacks, which we had so many people, we started at 6, and we actually packed 735 backpacks. So we had like 235 more than we even needed. And there were so many people who came up to help with that. We started at 6, and all 700 were packed by 6:35, and we were done, which was amazing. There again, that's you guys rising up. What do we need to do? All right, so here's the deal. So the goal is 500, so we hit 529, which is awesome. We have about 200 maybe-ish, maybe a little less left. And so after we finished, Pastor Rigo and I got together, and he said, hey, if you're willing, I'll take those. And then at the haircuts, they're doing haircuts next Saturday, we're also going to promote backpack giveaway. Saturday works great for us. We'll give those backpacks away that way. And on that day, and if for some reason, he said, I don't think we have them left over. His wife, Rosie, works at elementary school. She's reached out. Yes, they could give them all away if need to be. So I want you to know that by Saturday of next week, all 735 backpacks will be in the hands of kids, packed full of school supplies for this school year. Amen? So that's a great ministry, man. It's a great ministry, and the people were so grateful and so thankful. So thank you, Grace Point family. You're a giving church. That's just one example of you giving and you ministering to people. So thank you so much for your faithfulness there. Okay, let's talk about Colossians. We need to talk about Colossians 3, verse 14. So I'm going to lead into this thing. I'm going to give you, there's four words that can summarize this message. So when you leave today, and I hope God speaks, you know, certainly in a specific way to you. I always say to you, I know you're not going to get everything today. I mean, I give a lot of information, but my hope and really my prayer is that you get one thing today. That God just presses onto your heart. And this is it. And you take that, and when you hit those doors, that is pressed into your heart. You've heard from God. This is the way, walk in it. And that's what I'm hoping today. Four words to summarize everything I'm talking about today. You've heard them before. It's biblical. I've talked about it. I need to keep it in front of us all the time because it's the two most important commandments. Jesus himself said it. It's clear, decisive. When asked, the most important commandment, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Today, it's all about love God and love others. Love God and love others. And today, Colossians 3:14 is talking about loving others. But we'll never love others well until we love God. But in Colossians 3:12, let me read this. Put on then, this is new life. Remember, this is what we're going to put on, the new life, as we've been walking through this. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, put this on, humility, meekness, and patience. Verse 13, last week we talked about this. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. That was a tough week. Talked about that last week. Now, verse 14. And above all these. Okay, so if you write in your Bible, like I do, man, I'm circled, underlined, highlighted. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Above all, more important than anything else, he's saying, don't miss this. Put this on. Some argue for the translation, on top of all the other articles of clothing, the garments. As Paul talks about, clothe yourself, and the analogy is that you're putting these things on. Put on. The word is in the Greek is enduo, which is defined as the act of putting on clothing or putting on a piece of garment. And so some argue, and I think it's accurate, this translates that what he's saying is you put on all these other things. Now, on top of all those other things, put love on top of those things, on top of everything. And then it holds it all together. Because if you don't have that, it all falls apart. And that's what consistently throughout the scriptures, this importance of loving others. So today, let me give you some takeaways. Takeaway number one is what he's talking about here. I'm going to show you in some others consistently through the scriptures. He says, verse 14, and above all these. So takeaway number one, the priority of love. That's what he's speaking to here. The priority of love. Above all speaks to that. He's saying, don't miss this, friends. This is important. The priority of love. Now, I want to go 1 Corinthians 13. I want to show you this, and I know you say, well, I've heard it. So hear it different maybe today. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I want you to also see and connect this, Colossians 3, with 1 Corinthians 13, with the focus of the priority and the importance of love in this new life as believers, that this must be present in our lives. So 1 Corinthians 13, then I'm going to go back and I'm going to give you a couple, just a bullet points under this takeaway. Here's what he says. Again, priority, importance of love and loving others. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, I have not love. I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, then I am nothing. No matter how much you know, he's saying. And if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, you gain nothing. And then he describes it. I'll just read through verse 7. Love is patient. And this is new life and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So we're called to put on this love in Colossians 3. What does that look like? 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to give you three. We could just go all day on this, but I'm just going to give you an example of three of what that looks like. If you're taking notes. What that means, this priority of love and putting on loves means, 1 Corinthians 13, 1, with our words, we put on love. With our words, we put on love. That's what he says in verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Words without love, he's saying, words without love are empty, man. You say it all day long to your wife. The words without love. Or just noise. The Corinthians, they were caught up in this, man. They were so proud of their spiritual eloquence. So knew exactly what Paul was talking about. But God says, without love, your words are not effective. So maybe, just consider it. Maybe you're not communicating well in your home, with your husband, with your wife, with your children. Because you're not speaking in a loving way. Because put on love with our words. Two, with our mind. Think. We can have all kinds of knowledge. That's good. But without love, he says, I am nothing. Doesn't matter how much you know, he says. It doesn't matter how much you know. Doesn't matter how much Bible you know. How many degrees I have. It doesn't matter. I don't have love. what he says. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and I have all faith as to remove mountains, but I have not love, then I'm nothing. So we must get into our mind and our minds that without love, we miss the mark. It's incomplete. It's good. Knowledge of God and the all that's good. But without love, he's saying, you're missing it. The third one, with our giving, we put on love. This new life, with our giving, we put on love. And that's what he says in verse 3, if I give away all I have, and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love. You see the priority there? Again, I gain nothing. That's the above all of Colossians 3. Above all, don't miss this. The priority of love, the importance of it. He says, with our giving, with your giving, make sure that you put on love. I think he's pressing in on their motives and our motives. What's your motive for giving? Are you giving to get back? Are you giving out of obligation? It's not out of love. He said, when we give that way, I gain nothing from it. It has to. It must be with love. So we could go on, but that's what we're talking about when he says in Colossians 3 to put on love. Right, with our words, with our mind, with our giving, and he goes on. It's a priority in everything that we are doing. He's saying, let it be a priority. And let it be a priority in your home. This priority of love in your home. Takeaway number two, second thing, is we must realize and recognize when we talk about love and the priority of love, biblical love, we must realize that love always begins. For us as believers, love must always begin with God. That's where it begins. That's where it starts. It's not what the world says. We don't start there. The world will define love for you through romance novels, through books, through movies, through TV programs, through The Bachelor. Lord, help us all. I'm not even going to comment on that because I have to confess and repent after church. Good night. Oh, man. Love always begins with God. The world will tell you different. They'll say, this is what it looks like. But what he's talking about, put on love. He's talking about biblical love. Gospel-centered. We're going to get there in a minute. Love. Put that on. And you're going to see that bind that brings together. It always begins with God. Biblical love. 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. It begins there. You have to begin there when you talk about it. When you talk about it to your children. And I'm going to show you. Stay with me about specifically how to communicate that and then to show some what it looks like. That's what we're talking about today. So we need to keep a clear head on this, on what love is and what biblical love is. When we're confused about love, we can become confused about forgiveness, meekness, humility, kindness, mercy. Ultimately, when our love, biblical love, gets confused, our view of all things start to get confused. That's why you have to put it on. Above all, put that on it. And you're putting it on rightly, the love which is biblical and gospel-centered. Let me give you a definition of love. It's not on the screen or in your notes, but if you're a note taker, I'll say it twice. Love is a self-sacrificing, and we're going to get to that in a minute. Love is a self-sacrificing, caring commitment, which shows itself in seeking the highest good of the one loved. Ephesians 5, 2 and 25, that's where I get it from. Love is a self-sacrificing, caring commitment, which shows itself in seeking the highest good of the one loved. Now, in that definition, the context of that definition, which is a biblical definition of love, the foundation of that love biblically is commitment. And we see that in the gospel, It is a commitment to seek the person's highest good. God did that for us in Jesus. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. He sought our highest good. It's the gospel. I mentioned at the start the two most important things in life, man. We don't miss this. We had a celebration of life for our brother Lane Tisdale. You know, we prayed for him last Sunday morning. And he was battling, but the Lord had a plan to take him home, and he took him home first to last week. So yesterday we gathered and we celebrated Lane's life. His wife Stephanie and Cole are members here. You know, they've all been members, and Stephanie and Cole are. So we gathered to celebrate Lane's life. And one of the things I shared, and everybody who knew him knew this, that he got it. These two most important things in life. I mean, there are so many distractions for me, for you, that can sweep us away, and these other things become more important than these two things. But Lane Tisdale, man, he knew it. He got it. Love God and love people. Love God and love people. Matthew 22, verse 37 and 39. And here's what we need to realize also. For me to love my wife best, I must love God first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love my wife best, to love my children best, I must love God first. To love my church best, to love you best, this as your pastor, I must love God first. And if I don't, if you don't, it does impact the way I love my wife and my kids and my church. I'm not saying I'm going to be unloving. But I won't be putting on the fullness of how God wants me to love you and to love my wife and my children. To put on the new life. John 15:12, this is my commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you. So you look at Matthew 22, the two commandments there, love the Lord your God and then love your neighbor. And then you look at John 15, how we are loved to love one another. All three of these verses, these commands, center on relationships. Our relationship with God first, and then our relationship with other people. It's the priority, man. It's the priority of love. And it always begins... It always begins with God, because 1 John 4, he says, God is love. Now, let's hit the gas pedal a little bit. But, takeaway number three, and I already mentioned this, so I'm just going to touch on this and move on to then what it looks like, this new life, this putting on love. Takeaway number three, biblical love is always driven by the gospel. Biblical love is always driven by the gospel. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That's gospel. This is how we know what love is. That's what should drive us. As I was already saying, but I just echo with another a note I wrote here from an author I read. We do not merely seek to love in order to be happy, but we seek to be happy in God and in the gospel in order to love others well. So that's where you start. So maybe you say today, you know, that message on loving got me, man. I'm not loving well right now. And that day, we've all been there, man. Some of us are there right now. I'm telling you, and I know there can be extenuating circumstances and every situation is different, but I'm telling you, your beginning point
is to first seek to love God well. Go back to that place. Because if you're not, if I'm being unloving with my mouth, my words, if they're cutting to my wife or to my children, if I'm critical, if I got a negative spirit, okay, that's not, you don't just externally motivate that, right? You go back to the heart issue, which means I first then go to my faith in Christ and I get right before God, and then when I'm right before God and love Him well, then I love others rightly. That's your first step back. You start there. Because biblical love is driven by the gospel, man. It starts with God. It's driven by the gospel. Now, that being said then, what does it look like? Okay, that sounds good. Gospel, but what is it? And that's what I'm going to finish and show you, okay? And this is like an abbreviated version because of time. But I'm going to show you what it looks like, and we could expand this on this easily. So basically, when we talk about it's gospel-driven love, then what we do, what I do then is then I look to the gospel. I see what is the gospel all about and what is in the gospel. And then from that, you pull the truth of the gospel, right? And then you practically seek to live that out in Christ. For example, gospel-driven love, I'll give you three. Gospel-driven love, it is sacrificial. Take one, number four. It's sacrificial. So you look to the gospel, John 3:16. That's gospel right there. Gospel. For God so loved the world. We all know that verse. For God so loved the world. So there's the love, right? There's the love. And then we see the action after it. Watch this. That He gave His only Son. There's sacrifice right there. So gospel-driven love, priority then, means that this love that we're to put on new life is sacrificial. A sacrificial love. Biblical love is self-sacrificing. Christ loved us by sacrificing Himself on the cross. To love another person means you lay aside your rights. We talked about that last week. And your comfort by doing unto them what you would want done for you if you were in their situation. Biblical love is not convenient love. It's sacrificial, man. It's driven by the gospel. And in the gospel, we see sacrifices. In Ephesians 5, not on the screen, not on your notes. You see Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And now he's going to tell us how. Gave Himself up for her. You do not have to be a pastor or a theologian to understand that what that means. It means sacrifice in the context of marriage relationship, that I love my wife, gospel, I should be willing to sacrifice for her. And a lot of times people go, yeah, pastor, I hear you, man. I'll step in front of a car for her. I'll take a bullet for her, which is great. How about unloading the dishwasher? You know what I'm saying? How about picking up your clothes, man? Help with the kids. Help with the meal. You know, help with bath. What the practical stuff, man? I get it. Now, mine are older. You know, that'd be weird now. But when they were little, man, I saw. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, man. You can ask my wife. Well, no, don't really. That's just an expression. But I learned. And they were, you know. Year, three boys, a year apart, and our daughter was 2 years old, and our oldest boy. So we had four, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 5. And so I learned quickly that, you know, I need to let go of some things that maybe even I was doing for my, that I enjoyed. And I'm not talking about martyrdom here, man, but let go of things, sacrifice, right? To help and come alongside my wife, even, and like I said, self-sacrifice. This sacrificial attitude, we're always like, typically, I mean, rarely, and I pray, really, I hope to God you never are in a situation where you have to, you know, give your life for your spouse, your wife. I mean, rarely does that happen. But what happens every single day, and will happen this day at some point, is you men will have an opportunity to sacrifice some things to help your wife in the practical day-to-day things that are going on in life. That's what, I mean, That's what we're talking about. Yes, it's the big picture, but it's the day-to-day, lovingly, willingly saying, hey, I'm going to do what I can to come alongside my wife, and I'm being willing to sacrifice to minister to my wife, however that's going to look on that particular day or that particular night or that particular week, but you're thinking about that. That's above all, putting love, putting on love. It's sacrificial. And then after you do it, don't walk around like you're supposed to get a medal for it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just what we're called to do. And we should do it willingly and joyfully. Really. I mean, it's biblical truth, man. And it's a rare thing. Rare thing that happens. I wonder if so many marriages are just jacked up. Everybody's selfish about their own needs, man. That's not biblical, man. That's not loving. That is not loving. That is not loving her as Christ loved the church. So it is a sacrificial love, gospel driven. And then the last two, take the next one, it is gracious, right? This gospel driven love that we're to put on is a gracious love, that we show grace to others. Now here's I'm going to go 2 Corinthians 8. Don't turn there, but let me just, I'll give you context really quick, and I got to finish this. So 2 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2, and then verse 8. So Paul, in the context of this, Paul is telling the Corinthians, he's trying to motivate the Corinthians to love well. They're having some problems, challenges with that, right? And so what he does, and what I'm about to read, is he points to the Macedonians, to the Macedonian churches, who are loving well. And he says, I want you to see this. And what he's going to show them and shows us is that they loved well independent of circumstances around them because their focus was on the grace of God. And when they focused on how gracious God was to them, they were in turn gracious to other people. That's how it works. You're looking at the wrong thing. We're looking at the wrong thing. See, Colossians 3, which we've already been to, but setting our eyes on things above, that's what this is about. So let me show you this. 2 Corinthians 8, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace, now there it is, of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. Okay, he wants them to know that, look, the churches, they've experienced the grace of God too. For in a severe test of affliction, all right, so it's going bad for them. Their abundance of joy, well, that seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? Severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy, and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity. So see, that's circumstantially independent, that they have great joy and they are being generous by loving one another, even though they're in poverty and there's extreme affliction. Now, here's the deal. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. If you go up to the first part of the verse 1, this is what he's telling them to focus on. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. And then he gives the result of what's happened, what they're doing. They're loving well. They're generous. They're loving well. So he's saying they focused on the grace of God given to them. Their sins were forgiven. The wrath of God had been replaced with the divine everlasting favor. Guilt was gone. Hell was closed. Heaven opened. The Spirit was indwelling. Hope had exploded in their hearts. All of this because of the gospel, because of the grace. They deserved none of it. But the grace of God had been given to them. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. And so they, in response, were gracious to others. This is why we must keep the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, of first importance. Gospel-driven love, man, it is gracious. And then last, to skip to last, it unifies. So takeaway 6, it's unifying. And that's what he's finishing on when he says, and above all these, put on love, which, and this is the part I'm talking, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So I think this is across the board. I think in your home, I think when you put on love, it binds you, brings you closer and brings you together. Again, when it's gospel-driven, biblical, not worldly, love, and there's much more to this than what I've just touched on today, but this gets you way down the road to being thinking that way. And I think it unites. It's biblically. Now, I think context here is the church was uniting, the false teachers were dividing by their false teaching. And so Paul comes in, he wants to bring unity, and he points to this. He says, love well. Love biblically. Put on this new life. Love as Jesus loved you. And when you do, it's going to bring you together, he says, in perfect harmony. I think the same thing's true in your home and in your marriage. Above all these, he says, put on love. That's powerful. I want to finish with this email that a young lady sent me a while back. It's been a while, but I kept it. So every once in a while, the Lord will bring people here, and then he sends them off to other states, or they move away, you know, and every once in a while, I hear from some. I try to keep up with a few people, and so I'm thankful for this young lady. She wrote this email, but I want you to hear it because it's much of you. It's about you, Grace Point Church. So I, Pastor Dave, and she, you know, hope your family's well, and kind of the as you start out, you know, hope everything's going well. And then she says this. She says, I want to thank you and Grace Point Church for planting so many seeds in my heart to one day be watered and eventually grown by God. She said, when I first came to your church, to Grace Point, I had a deep desire to be connected with God in a way that had not even fully manifested yet. When I went to Grace Point for the first time, you were preaching a sermon on love. Oh, how my heart ached for this love you spoke about. I was hopeless, broken, and depressed. The love you spoke of seemed out of my reach. That somehow God excluded me from that. I didn't make the cut. I wasn't on the list. She goes on to share some things, and she says, although I had not fully committed my life to Jesus while at Grace Point, I want you to know that I now have. And I wanted to say thank you to you and Grace Point Church for showing love and grace to someone who felt unworthy of love and grace. You guys were a big planter in my journey. I'm grateful we are now all a part of the same family. A family of God. The priority of love. You know, as when I think about Grace Point, when I think about you and us and Grace Point Church in this community and this time and this, I hope, and I'm thankful for this, I hope that when people hear about Grace Point, that they're not remembering the helicopter that drops the Easter eggs. They're not remembering the over 1,000 people who came to get backpacked with families. They're not first remembering the fall festival out here. They're not first remembering that we gave coats out to the cold, people in the cold. All those things are important, don't get me wrong. And we continue to do those and more with excellence. But what I hope most, truly, is when they speak of Grace Point Church, they say, oh, yeah, that church, man. Man, they love people. They love God. love people. The priority of love. Let's pray together. Will you stand with me as we pray? Father, thank you for Jesus. You demonstrated your love, that you loved us. You committed, God, all, and may we in response do the same. And so I pray as we continue to worship, as we worship and sing back to you, God, and just worship in response to your grace to us and your goodness to us and Jesus to us, that you are pressing into our hearts, that we can love you most so we can love others best. May it start in our homes. May our homes be known as loving. In our church, so we thank you for Jesus. You demonstrated your love for us. So thank you for that. May our hearts just center again on you and the gospel message. We pray in Jesus' name.